Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't hear a lot about the atmosphere in-game being intimidating.
Oh, it's not.
Which is interesting because it's a great place to go to a game and ton of fans and people love it, and it's a huge game. They're a good team. Georgia coming in and all the backs against the wall and all that kind of stuff. But, like, I haven't heard any – like, when we talk about the Alabama-LSU game, a huge part of the conversation is it's Baton Rouge at night, right?
Right.
It's a tough place to go in, tough place to win.
Right.
So I guess you're confirming what I was – what I thought that I was hearing.
No, but I'm saying – but I think any place –
it's not an intimidating atmosphere.
Any place that you play and you give the home team an opportunity to get the crowd involved. Now, they got great fans. Don't get me wrong.
No,
they got great fans and all that.
I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. But, it's just not something that you hear people talk about.
No. But they're so damn good.
Yeah, they are so damn good.
And they got a quarterback who I think is the best quarterback in the conference. I think Jackson Dart is just – he is unbelievable.
It's interesting.
He's unflappable. This dude – we talked – I was listening to a lot of stuff about him, just him against the blitz, him against this dude is legit. Mm-hmm. And then he has this mad scientist being his play caller, and you talk about all the weapons they have, and then we talk about the defense they have. This might be the best team Georgia's played. Just top to bottom, everything, athlete for athlete, this could be the best team Georgia's played.
It could be. I still think Texas is quite good, and I think Alabama's okay. They're just such a different version of Alabama than they've been, and we'll talk about them and their matchup with LSU coming up tomorrow night as well. But I was thinking about this morning, reading about some of the stuff related to the game, and just how differently seasons have gone for some teams than they anticipated. Certainly seasons have gone for individuals than we anticipated.
Right.
Like Carson Beck is probably the primary example of that. He's certainly no longer the number one guy on people's draft board. In fact, when we talk about the game and keys to it, the number one key is Carson just has to play clean.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy to not, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, coming into the season was like, Carson's got to do this, Carson's got to do this. Now it's like, well, just don't throw interceptions and you can probably beat people. If the season ended today, Jackson Dart probably first team All-SEC?
Yes.
Who are the guys after him?
Oh, man.
Because that wouldn't have been that shocking if you would have told me at the beginning of the year, given what he had done in his past and what that offense was going to be and how good they were supposed to be. But, like, you would have thought Carson Beck would be in consideration.
Yeah.
He's not.
Would it came from Vanderbilt?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think two of the guys, I don't know if they're really – I don't know if Sellers is really in that conversation, but he's played great, and he's won some big games. But I think Diego Pavia, maybe third team. I don't know, maybe second at this point, depending on how the season goes. But, yeah, nobody would have predicted that.
No.
Nobody would have talked about that. I think Nussmeier's having a good year, but he throws a lot of interceptions.
I didn't realize this guy's rising up on draft boards the way he is.
They love his arm.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah, he is definitely climbing.
Milroe, you would have thought, certainly after that Georgia game. But
right.
He kind of has taken a step back since then, and they've lost some games since then. So it's a great example of how – the games actually have to be played so you know what teams are. But we spend so much time predicting what's going to happen that you maybe decide that that's true.
Right.
Then you get in the middle of it and it's like, dang, all right. Everything's kind of out the window from the preseason predictions, from an individual play standpoint at the quarterback position in the SEC for sure.
No doubt about it, man. And maybe I'm not best, maybe most talented. I'll just say that. Because, I mean, Ole Miss is loaded, man. They really are. And it's always one of those, you know, as we talk about the coaching matchup, obviously Kirby's superior in those things, and Lane's looking for his first win. He has a team to do that. He has a team to beat Georgia to get his first significant win.
I think that's a really important comment in relation to the narrative surrounding him and big games.
Right.
I think it's similar to James Franklin in that, yes, the record is what it is. They have not won a lot of those games at all. But when you look at the actual matchups, how many games should they have won?
Right.
Not that many.
Right.
Like, how many times has
– you said that a lot.
How many times has Lane Kiffin really had the better team in some of these matchups? And I'm not saying he has the better team tomorrow, but at least it's even.
Right.
How many times has it even been even? Not really. I think he's 3-15 in his head coaching career against top five teams. How many of those games did he have a top five team?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, it's hard to beat top five teams.
Well, you don't have top five talent.
Most coaches have a losing record against top five. Now, Kirby doesn't. Kirby's 9-6 against teams that are in the top five. Now, Ole Miss is not in the top five, so that's not relevant to this. But that's because Kirby has teams that are also in the top five.
Right.
He's not taking a 500 team and beating a team that has national championship aspirations. So I think some of the context in that conversation gets lost a little bit. But I also think that it's there this time because Ole Miss has a lot of talent.
Yes.
Lane Kiffin actually has the dudes to win these games.
Especially.
And yet they've lost two games this year already.
Yes. And it was like, I remember we came in and we talked about that the Kentucky-Ole Miss game. Kentucky played the game just the way it needed to be
perfect
played.
Game.
Perfect game for them. They mucked it up. Vanderess used his legs and everything like that. They were able to just muck it up like that and could never – and Ole Miss could never get on on rhythm or anything offensively, anything like that. I don't know how they lost the LSU game.
No offense to LSU, but they blew it.
Yeah.
Ole Miss blew it. They should have won that game four different times, and they kept shooting themselves in the foot.
They just didn't realize that, man. But when you look at the overall roster, overall talent, like you said yesterday, they're one of the best run defenses in the country. Not just in the conference, in the country. Now, is that because teams are having to throw the ball? I don't know. And then they lead the nation in sacks. So they get after the quarterback. I mean, they got those things that, you know, that Lane didn't have when they went up to Athens last year and got this blank kicked out of them.
Yeah.
You know, and so with that, and then the way Jackson Dart is playing, and the way Carson is playing.
Yeah.
You know, and I got right here. I said, do I trust 15? I don't know. Because that's you don't want to be in that way. Because I remember him, oh, man, was it 2 weeks ago or whatever? And Mike Bell, he had a great point. He's like, what is Carson Beck's signature win? Like, I'm like, well, they did beat Ole Miss and Tennessee.
Sure.
They did, you know.
And Texas on the road this year. But then you dig into it.
I thought about this morning
How
about
did he
that
play
Texas.
In those games?
Exactly. I thought about that this morning, the whole Texas thing. I was like, well, they kind of won in spite of him. I mean, he did when Texas got some momentum going. He got the dig route to Arian Smith, the flea flicker to Oscar, and you put it away and everything. But can he come out and – because the one thing you don't want, and I don't know from – I don't know him that well at all. I've met Carson a couple times. But from what me seeing him from last year to this year is he's pressing to try and live up to the expectations of what people had.
Sure.
That could be a dangerous thing.
Oh, absolutely.
That could be, and it's been dangerous.
It has been.
Yeah, it's been dangerous.
I don't know exactly how to explain the issues that he's had. That's a reasonable explanation for it. That makes sense.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.